I'm presenting today the baseline data analysis of an intervention trial we held in Israel among low socioeconomic status children preschoolers. My striking finding, which associates to the first lecture given here, is maternal misperception. We have found that more than 80% of the mothers to obese and overweight children underestimated their own children's weight status. I have no relationship to disclose. Starting with obesity trends, as we can see here among children and adolescents in the United States, you can see that no matter at which age are you looking at, and this is of course well known, but the trend is striking for anyone in the field and out of the field, there is an inclined trend in all ages. Overweight and obesity among low-income preschool-aged children is more severe across the globe. One of seven low-income preschool-aged children in the United States is obese. The overall prevalence of obesity in the United States in 2008, and this is the year I'm mentioning because my data are from this year, was 14.6%. The overall prevalence of overweight and obesity among preschoolers in 2008 among English and Italian children was approximately 21 and 22%. I'm mentioning those European countries because, as you will see at the end of my lecture, we are more like them. We Israelis, I mean. The existing evidence from prospective studies show us that low adult education, social class, and neighborhood socioeconomic status are associated to higher rates of childhood obesity and elevated inflammatory levels. Childhood obesity is also associated with elevated risk for chronic conditions such as cardiovascular risk, hypertension, diabetes, respiratory diseases, and musculoskeletal problems. And if to associate my findings to the former lecture, childhood obesity is also associated to lower self-esteem and depression among children, and these are well-established evidence. Preschool age is a critical time period because if overweight begins before 8 years of age, obesity in adulthood is likely to be more severe. Obese preschool children are 2 to 2.6 times more likely to become obese adults when compared with non-obese preschoolers, and obese school-aged children are 6.5 times more likely to become obese adults with all the health consequences known for obese adults. The ecological model of childhood obesity by Davison and Birch resembles, in my opinion, the vast causes for childhood obesity and the complexity of it. You can see it is complex from three circles. The first one is the child characteristics and child risk factors. The second one is parenting styles and family characteristics. And the third is community demographics and social characteristics. Those three life circles act together. And this is why when we approach a population, which is a segment of the entire population, in my opinion, in order to invest our money correctly, we need to specify what are the specific determinants of this population. The original study is a randomized clinical trial which included 3 months intervention model with follow-up 4 months and 12 months after completion of intervention. It was controlled for physical activity in both in the control group, and the sample size concluded 240 children and their mothers. The study population was socioeconomically disadvantaged kindergarten children aged 5 to 6 and their parents in Beersheba, which is in the southern district of Israel. Inclusion criteria included children from kindergarten defined as low socioeconomic population by the local municipality, children whose parents agreed to participate in the research. Exclusion included children who suffer from any chronic disease or developmental problems, children who participate in a weight reduction treatment or program, and children or parents who have any psychiatric problem or diagnosis. Out of a pool of 16 kindergartens, we ended up using 12 kindergartens, divided them into eight intervention kindergartens and four control kindergartens, and ended up having 183 parents signed an informed consent in the intervention group and 75 parents signed an informed consent in the control group. The overall percent was 70%. We also conducted measurements of weight and height for the children and mothers. All measurements were taken in the morning before breakfast with light clothing and without shoes. Each measurement was taken twice in order to assure reliability. We used standard scale and portable height rod, and we also calculated from the data, from the measurements, the BMIZ score percentiles for children according to the WHO growth charts. We used the food frequency questionnaire adapted or modified for children in Ben-Gurion University, the health knowledge and attitudes questionnaire, child health questionnaire, and socio-demographic questionnaire, all used by the Israeli survey to measure those things. We also used a physical activity and sedentary behavior questionnaire. The intervention model was the nutrition enrichment and healthy living model by the JDC, which is an integrative model covering a variety of lifestyle issues. The model was applied to preschool children, their parents, and caregivers. The first outcome I'm presenting is the distribution of the BMIZ score among the children. You can see, you cannot see, but you can see the graph, the left one. You can see our children, which is this this right skewed histogram, which represent that 18.5% of the children were overweight and 11.3% of the children were obese. Overall, 29.8% of the children were either overweight or obese. Our findings, when you use the American method, are similar to the obesity prevalence among low-income preschool-aged American children. And of course, the skewness of those histograms was checked in all normality tests. A few other baseline characteristics in our study population. It was interesting to see that not only the weight varied between normal weight children and overweight obese children, but also the height. Actually, overweight and obese children were higher than normal weight children. We also found, like in literature, that overweight and obese children had more sedentary hours. Those children did not differ in all other criteria, including parental education, marital status, parental obesity, and physical activity, and other that I'm not getting into them. When we have checked maternal perception of child weight status in comparison to the actual weight that we measured, we have asked mothers to specify whether their child is in normal weight, thin, or obese. And it is, of course, actually so it's their own opinion. It's a mother's opinion on their child. We did not explain in purpose anything. We have found that more than 80% of the mothers to overweight and obese children have said that their children are either normal weight or underweight. 42.4% of the mothers to normal weight children actually said that their children are underweight. We have used the standard definitions to measure, of course, overweight according to the recommendation of the WHO. When we have tried multiple logistic regression models, the final one that we have came with is shown here. We can see that the odd ratio for obesity among children that their mother underestimates their weight status is 8.3, and current parental smoking is also in a very high odd ratio of 4.2, puts a child at a higher risk to be overweight or obese. Our conclusions are that the prevalence of obesity among low SES Israeli preschoolers, excuse me, can I have a cup of water, please? Thank you. That the prevalence of obesity among low SES Israeli preschoolers in 2008 was high and similar to the prevalence reported for low SES US preschoolers. Maternal underestimation of child weight status and parental smoking are associated with childhood overweight and obesity among low SES children. These parameters may help identify children at risk for obesity and are potentially amenable to intervention. The research, of course, was approved by the Helsinki Committee of the Soroka University Center, approved by the Chief Scientist and Ministry of Education. Data were collected with identifiers, and identification was omitted during data entry and analysis, and the trial was registered in NIH.com. We had a lot of partners, the JDC, the municipality, the local municipality, the local Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, and Ben-Gurion University. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer questions if you have. Yes, please.
Some heterogeneity in the Israeli population.
We did not include in this sample Bedouins because they were just not living in this city. It is the largest city in the southern of Israel, but they do not live there. They mainly live in unrecognized villages in a more rural kind of living, which is different from this urban kind of living. But we did have many minorities that I did not mention, and we have analyzed later on, like Ethiopian immigrants, Russian immigrants, and it was very interesting to look on their characteristics. I'm not presenting it here, but it is interesting. There was no difference between Sephardic and Ashkenaz Jews, but there was a difference among the, just if I'm already speaking about it, Ethiopian immigrants in itself was defending against obesity, but if the parents of an Ethiopian child were smoking, it puts the child under the risk of odd ratio of 16 to be obese. So I have also tried, I did not include it here, but I've also tried mediation analysis to try and understand why is there such a big difference? And at least for misperception works through physical activity. Parents who, or mothers who misperceive their own child's weight status tend to send their child to less physical activity lessons. I mean, it's a whole group of characteristics, not just that. Else?
So the intervention, can you explain the intervention again?
Yes.
Okay.
The intervention was an integral model including 10 lessons of nutrition for the children, 3 sessions held with parents. It included 10 meetings with a dental care hygienist and 15 lessons of physical activity that were applied for both intervention and control groups. We are actually analyzing those findings today or those days, and we have quite interesting things that I hope I will be able to present next year.
So the data you presented is like
our baseline.
Cross-sectional,
and this is why they are limited, of course. It was interesting for us to see what are the characteristics of the population. It's the first time we thought of building an intervention which is specific to low socioeconomic status, that focusing on the purchasing ability of food, etc. But since we have discovered socioeconomic status doesn't make any difference for the child's chances to be obese, we have decided to focus on other issues in the intervention.
Yeah, excellent. Nice snapshot. And it'll be interesting to see next APHA meeting the findings of the trial.
I hope so. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Do we want to have some discussion? Any other questions for the other speakers? Or discussion on the obesity epidemic. Any other insights or discussion?
Yes, sir.
There's some evidence that physical activity, rather than being able in its own right to help regulate weight, interacts with diet in such a way as when there is high levels of physical activity, it seems to sensitize the body to satiety markers in the diet. I'm wondering if any of the panelists are looking at the interaction between physical activity and the quality of the diet, such that those who are exercising tend to eat a lower energy dense diet.
From what I know, among children, physical activity only affects the short-term satiety and not the long-term satiety. There was actually a very interesting trial held by Nemet and Eliakim in Israel, in which they have shown that obese children, and it was, I think, published in Pediatrics lately, that obese children who exercise tend to eat differently than non-obese children. Anyhow, they are different.
Yes.
I think my question is about perceptions of risk ethnicity and how perceptions of weight are affected by your race and your culture. So African American women, Hispanic women have different perceptions of obese, overweight. BMI is the standard measure, but there's a lot of questions as to whether or not it's accurate, because maybe I can never get to that BMI because of my body type or my perception. So how do we work with
any comments from the, any perceptions from the Latino perspective? Come up.
Well, my survey, the survey I analyzed was mostly, it was in Mexico, so there's not really an ethnic question there. So they're all Mexican women. I mean, it is a good question whether people in that country have a different perception than, let's say, Americans or even Mexican Americans that are living here. So I think that would be something good to look at.
But even, it was interesting, though, even in Israel, the mother's perceptions of their own daughter. I mean, that's, to me, that was very, you want to comment on that?
Actually, from literature, not from what I've done, but Latino American mothers to obese children tended to explain that they see their obese children as firm, or they were more looking for whether or not the child eats a variety of food, and that for them was an indication whether he is obese or not, because a child that was defined as eating a vast variety of food was considered normal, and a child who ate limited variety of food was considered obese. So the perception of what at all it is obese was different among those Latino American mothers. Also, all the mothers in the specific qualitative research that I'm quoting related to whether or not a child is being excluded in class. This was the strongest indicator that they have gave to whether if is obese or not. So we should, yes, look for different things, but at the same time, for us professionals in this field, look for different definitions understandable for the public and for us as well. I mean, it is hard to distinguish between an overweight and a normal weight child, if you ask yourself.
And certainly there's a tie-in between self-image, body image, whether you get bullied, you know, and then based on that, depression, perhaps in children, right?
I didn't investigate children.
But this is even in adults. But I could imagine that, and we see that in the news, right? All the things in the news today about bullying and suicide, and many of that, you know, is pits against you know, the issues of you know, your own body image and self-image, and which of course is related to your body size and obesity. So it's I'm sure with the high prevalence of obesity that this is going to be a huge, huge issue. That, you know, I think you're absolutely right that it makes sense to look at this in a better way. Back to your question about energy expenditure and physical activity and diet, and does it change that? So obviously the classic prescription for obesity is the energy balance, right? But folks who tend to exercise more actually require more energy intake. So there has to be a balance. So obviously to lose weight is you want to make sure you have more energy expenditure versus how much you take in. But for sure, when someone increases their physical activity, and I've looked at, let's say, occupational physical activity in particular, people will have a very active job, physically active on the job, have much higher caloric intake, but the calories are different than the people who are sedentary. And so physical activity does change your caloric intake pattern. And so the key for losing weight is to make sure that pattern isn't, in fact, that you're also increasing very high caloric intake to maintain that energy expenditure, but that you have that balance and not overdo it, and you don't lose weight. So you're maybe more physically active. But you're also, your question, I think your point about if you have VO2 max and fitness measures, is it's clear that fitness is the key also. So even folks with high body mass index who are fit are healthy. And Steve Blair is a good example. If you guys know Steve Blair, of course, he's done many studies of this. And so his data on fitness really show that fitness, even at every category of obese folks, are protective against many health factors. So getting out and moving, no matter how heavy you are, is really important. And that has to be the message as well, right?
Time magazine had a nice headline. It was better fat and fit.
It's better fat
and fit.
And fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fitness, so getting out and moving is really the important, very important to get the message out. Yeah?
Just to follow up on throughout the overboard, people who get extreme endurance activity, and I think of Michael Phelps is the paradigm, this diet is awful.
Yes.
Fast food galore.
Yeah.
He expends 7,000 calories.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the ideal is for people to have moderately elevated levels of physical activity, in part because it seems to promote greater interest in water-bearing foods like fruits and vegetables, which are lower in energy density than other foods. Mm-hmm. But if you go overboard on Michael Phelps, then you're no longer quite a benefit for physical activity in terms of that promoting energy.
Yeah. And folks physically active on the job tend to increase their calories at the carbohydrate end versus, so that's important as well. Any other comments or questions? Yeah.
Is there any data on how children perceive their own body image compared to how the mother perceives her own body image and how then she perceives the child's body image?
Yes. Actually, yes, and this is a very interesting question. There is a big Greek trial about those data in Greece. Yeah.
Is it just the mainland, or is it common to the islands too?
I don't know about their sample, but I would think it was. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was done in Athens. I think, but you better look for it. I try to remember the name of the author in a couple of minutes. I'll have it. So there is a big research about that, but the children's ages were higher. Among preschoolers, and if you have children, you probably know it, you can get very biased answers, and every minute you will ask them. We have tried doing it. It was very funny, so it's not reliable. You get whatever he saw a minute before, the answer is not reliable. And this is why we don't tend to ask children themselves, and also ethical issues. But among higher ages, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was 9 to 12 years old of age, children actually perceive themselves more precisely than their mothers. So we should listen to our children.
Did you ask in your study the children? No, you didn't.
Purposely
didn't.
Yeah, I had preschoolers because...
These are kindergartens, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And how about in the data set, did you look at age in terms of the perception of the body shape relative to the...
I didn't look at that question. So it was just the question asking about weight status, how they classify themselves.
How they classify themselves versus the reality?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even that, I mean, did you look at different ages?
Yeah, I looked at two age groups.
Two age groups,
yeah. younger, like 24 to 34.
Yeah, you may want to even try, if you have enough data, is to look at the young, you know, early 20s versus the others to kind of see if there is a difference in how that perception is. And also with those diagrams, I think you got to look at those diagrams. I think that's fantastic that you have that. You know, that's like perceptions, like, do you look like Barbie doll or do you look like, you know, somebody in the middle or somebody, right? You know, my daughters grew up with a Barbie doll and I was like, oh God, you know.
The Greek trial.
They haven't done this kind of analysis comparing the, they didn't ask the children, they have just shown them the figures. So they don't have those gaps.
Yeah. So this is Athens, Greece, not Athens, Georgia. Here's a little trivia for you. There's 23 states that have an Athens. Yeah. And it turns out that we have people show up at Athens Airport when they did have airplanes land there who got off and said, where's the Parthenon? We're like, you're in the wrong. So they're like, you go on the airline tickets and you can pick Athens. It says Athens, Greece and Athens, you know, whatever. But I believe it or not. Few people show up who think they're in Athens, Greece. Any other questions or comments? I thought this was really good. Let's congratulate the presenters for...